Once upon a time, Coke executives would say their only competition was water, and that Coke itself was like life.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
This classic 1970s ad cost about $250,000 to make. It was made back in the day when drinking Coke was about everything except drinking Coke. With growth unlimited and demand strong, soft drinks were about the aspirations of youth, wealth, style. Turtlenecks were in style back then. Just look at the video. Health, I guess, was one of the aspirations, and world peace or something. For the 10th straight year, U.S. soda consumption is down. Americans drank nearly 1.5 billion fewer cases last year than in 2004 when soda sales hit their all-time high. Among the reasons, youth looks to Red Bull, Gatorade, and other brands these days. Wealth apparently picks Kraft soda drinks or Jennifer Aniston's high-end water and other specialty beverages that have also grabbed the old Coke style as well. And health today shuns sugary drinks for vitamin waters and juices and diet drinks. Coke has to get some of this back, and part of their strategy seems to have been to fight the argument that sugary drinks contribute to obesity. A Coke-funded nonprofit called the Global Energy Balance Network is making the argument that Americans should worry less about what and how much they eat and drink. Instead, it claims the answer is exercise. Yoni Friedhoff is director of the Bariatric Medical Institute in Ottawa, Canada, and author of The Diet Fix. Friedhoff noticed this argument and the new nonprofit group and asked a question. Yoni, what was your question?
I wanted to know who was funding this group. It seemed very strange to me that there were a group of scientists saying that energy balance was plausible in the sense that we can't outrun our forks as much as we would like to believe that we can. It just doesn't work that way.
And so the assumption or the research that they were presenting was a little implausible. And so you looked at the funding source and what did you discover?
Well, so I reached out immediately when I saw the name of the network and I asked, who's funding you? And the answer I got back a few days later was Coca-Cola.
And this isn't unprecedented. The drink industry has spent a lot of time, everything from the dairy industry to Gatorade and other groups have tried to use scientists to make a point that their drink has some benefit that it may or may not have, right?
Yeah, I mean, so it's not surprising that Coca-Cola wants to fund nonprofits that suggest that it doesn't matter what you eat so long as you exercise. That message is a very powerful one in Coke's favor. So go figure that they're getting themselves involved. It's less clear on why the scientists are getting involved and, you know, why this network is necessary, given that we know exercise is an incredibly healthful and beneficial thing to do. It is the world's best drug. But we also know it's not a weight loss drug, and suggesting that it is doesn't to me sound like something that will further public health.
Do you think Coke and the soft drink industry in general is kind of desperate because long past are the days when they thought of themselves as a replacement for water? People have a lot of alternatives. They're looking at what they drink in a very different way, and Coke's got to do something besides, you know, offer a Coke to the world and bring world peace.
Yeah, there's no question they're on the ropes. I mean, if you look at, you know, diet as a whole, society's a bit more concerned now about what we're putting in our bodies. But of all of the things we're putting in our bodies, perhaps none is so clearly not necessary and probably not good for you than sugar-sweetened beverages. So Coca-Cola's flagship drink, well, that is something that is now a target for legislators, for public health crusaders, and for just the general public to say, you know what, this is the one thing I know I can cut out that will probably benefit my health if I do.
What about energy drinks? What about the Gatorade claim that, you know, you need to restore dehydration to get rid of cramps, which reduce your performance in the Olympics?
It's primarily marketing nonsense, you know, so the beverage industry is making an awful lot of money selling sugar water. Sugar water is a very inexpensive product to make, and they can sell it with incredibly high profit margins. This is why there is so much marketing around these beverages. But ultimately, when it comes to the science of exercise, for instance, and electrolyte replacement or refueling or recovering, really that is all marketing except for a very small percentage of people who are truly elite athletes doing very long endurance style exercise. Everybody else, we should drink when we're thirsty And that's the secret to staying hydrated.
So the irony here is that if you're going to act as though, you know, Coke and soft drinks are an improvement on water in some way, and try to get scientists to make that argument, you're really barking up the wrong tree. What you might as well do is just, you know, put Jennifer Aniston on a poster and have her holding a glass of water. That actually is more scientifically valid, even if it's the same sort of marketing kind of hocus pocus.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, we live in a world where we've given marketers really, they can do whatever they want. You know, it's like they're unruly teenagers without parents who care what they're doing. And we have allowed this sort of marketing. We have allowed this engagement. You know, Coca-Cola actually isn't doing anything wrong by getting involved with scientists. And I'm not even suggesting necessarily the scientists are doing anything wrong. Many of these scientists have held these beliefs for a long time. But funding this, you know, nonprofit to promote a message of balancing the crappy foods you eat with a little bit of exercise, well, that's in Coke's best interest. It's not in yours or my best interest. And Coca-Cola has gone beyond just scientists. They've also created this organization called MyMixify, which is targeting children and is literally teaching children with a life-size Jenga game that they can balance drinks in the Jenga game with exercise in the Jenga game. There's a curriculum that's produced in part by Coca-Cola and the Healthy Weight Commitment Foundation called Energy Balance 101, pushing this very same message. It's in over 50% of elementary schools in the United States now. We are letting Coca-Cola and the food industry into our doors. We're letting them into our schools. This is worrisome, and it does smack of what tobacco was doing 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Worrisome is one thing, but is it a cause of obesity in your view, Yoni Friedhoff?
Well, there's no question that sugar-sweetened beverages as the single sole source provider of calories in North America, yes, you know, the single source provider of calories will likely be a cause of obesity.
And that doesn't require a whole lot of science as much as it just requires some math.
Yeah, I mean, again, there are a lot of issues that have led to the state we're in regard to obesity. There is no one cause. You can't simply say it's just Coca-Cola, but, you know, no one raindrop thinks it's responsible for the flood. Sugar-sweetened beverages are a hell of a big raindrop in this particular flood.
Yoni Friedhoff is director of the Bariatric Medical Institute in Ottawa, Canada, and author of The Diet Fix. Thanks so much, Yoni.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.